When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Howdy, howdy, folks. Welcome back to Hoot and a Half.
What's up, everybody? Happy New Year. It is me, Matt, with my co-host, Mike.
The host of the number one trending video on YouTube, the roast of Jason Nash.
Oh, my gosh.
Number one trending, brother.
Dude, it's been pretty spicy.
Mm-hmm.
I hate watching myself in moments like that. I've only seen clips. Every time a clip from the roast comes up on my FYP, I probably let it play for like 2 seconds, and then I swipe because I just cringe about it. Just because it's just a roast and the jokes are so aggressive.
Yeah.
And it's been like some backlash about it too, where people are like
that every year, every time.
People are really picking it apart, thinking, yeah, oh, they're trying to say something with this. But it's like, yo, have y'all watched any professional roasts ever?
Yeah, it's just exaggerating sometimes absolute nonsense and sometimes things that are real. But yeah, this was not a coded language of like, hey, everyone, we're trying to communicate.
Yeah, and a lot of people think like, oh man, Matt really needed to get some shit off of his chest.
Like what?
I am just having fun. And I think what another thing was is like, maybe some jokes were like plucking on the same string because other people were saying different renditions of that joke. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Also, a lot of my jokes were not written by me. I'm not even putting blame on that. But it's just, it is a collective group of fun about these people.
Also, has nobody seen any of our videos? Like, all this entire group does is rip on each other,
right,
in every video. Like, yeah, that's everything. That's the whole thing, is it's all...
But some people have been just some deep analysis into it, and now there's drama because of the roast, which I think is, like, a little ridiculous.
In the friend group?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, no, wait. No. Not in the friend group.
But on the internet.
I can tell... Ooh, I don't know in the friend group. I really haven't, like, talked to anybody
else. I can't imagine there is.
But, like... I don't know. We've all had a pretty good sense of humor about it.
Yeah.
I wasn't offended by any jokes that were written by me. If anything, I love my jokes. I almost kind of want to listen to them again. Mariah's jokes on me, I felt like were the best roast jokes.
Those were really funny.
Did you help write some of them?
I didn't touch Mariah's or Heath's.
What was the Rotten Tomatoes one?
Oh, Matt looks like the guy... Matt doesn't know if he likes this roast until he sees the rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes! Brilliant! That is... It almost, but it was kind of funny because I felt like half of the room, though, like, were people we weren't that close with.
I mean, it was like Zane's roast, and I know he wanted to be a little bit tighter. Like, yeah, the last two, it was like hundreds of people, I feel like, just randoms. Not randoms, but like friends of friends and plus ones. And
what really shook me up is that I didn't know that I was hosting until
10 minutes before.
Yes. Oh, man. I was pissed, but I was a little like... All right, I'm just going to do it. Because I think I like not over rehearsing for scripted,
yeah,
self-based like things.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes if you over rehearse something that you know you're going to be reading, it can just come off a little too stiff or over rehearsed.
But you went to speech and debate, so I think you might be overanalyzing.
Yeah, a little bit, but I was happy. But my teleprompter, I was one of the first ones to go up. It didn't work, so I had to read everything off of the paper, and it was never synced up anytime I had to go up for other people. But
yeah, I'm happy about it. I printed off all of them for like Heath and Zane, and I had to print all of them out before I came.
You were just... I'm so glad that at the end, though, you went and helped some other people write some jokes, too.
I wrote... Yeah, I was... I don't want to take any credit, like, unnecessarily, but yes, I did help punch up a lot. I gave you one joke that I think is going viral now, the one where you go, Ella, you look so good tonight, and you're looking at Reggie.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really happy that worked, because I thought maybe that wasn't going to work, but it seemed like it did.
It was so funny when I was delivering that line in the beginning. You should have seen Reggie's face where he was like, huh? Like, he thought I was, like, having a stroke, that I was, like, dead-ass looking at him.
It was like, so he's perfect, like, that they were also, like, on the opposite sides of the room. Like, it was so clear you were looking at Reggie right here, and she was all the way on the other side. It was perfect.
Well, what I think, you are an incredible joke writer, and I think what what your biggest skill is, like, you have really good tempo and, like, rhythm for how a joke should sound. Because sometimes a lot of jokes will be written and just, like, the idea is there, but, like,
yes,
the delivery has not found its, like, its footing.
And the way to say it is, yeah, that you have to be as efficient as possible and also save the surprise of the punchline as late in the
joke as
you can. It's
like a dance move. It's like a dance move to a song. You have to, it has to be in sync.
Yeah.
And you also are really good at writing in other people's personalities. Because Zane was like a little stressed for a long time. And I heard that you went and punched it up. And he was like, gosh, I should have had Mike this whole time writing the jokes. But our other joke writers are just as good.
Yeah.
But you really came in and like added some polish.
I also like to help people find their own voice. Like Zane had jokes that I knew he wasn't able to like articulate in his voice. And it's like, let's make this Zane-ified and cut it down and like...
Did you see that some people in the subreddit were posting took screenshots of the roast because they could see the teleprompter in the back and they were jokes that were cut out.
Yeah. But the roast was great. You did a great job hosting. I'm glad it's doing well.
Did you win anything big on the SeatGeek wheel?
So I did win on the SeatGeek wheel. I won $100.
Ooh. Yeah, so did you spend it already?
I haven't. I still have to email. I did use SeatGeek code a while back when like David was doing it and I got some 20% off or $20 off.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, I don't know what I need tickets for. That's actually... There's a concert tomorrow.
Coachella is the one where I'm like, please.
I feel like we can get, though. I don't know if we need to use your SeatGeek winnings for that.
I don't know. Well, I got... SeatGeek gave me Coachella tickets last year because I did basically SeatGeek...
I
was Mr. SeatGeek.
The president, which...
In the roast of...
And then he got
Jason
fired and replaced...
Jeff, or what was the roast for?
Bryce Hall.
Bryce Hall, that's what it was. Okay.
So you haven't watched it. The roast.
Clips.
You haven't like sat there on YouTube and watched it.
No. Mike, I'm not that... I don't like... Dude, it also makes me just cringe too much. Because, I don't know. I don't like it.
Yeah. It's also funny. Weird having been in the room and then seeing the edit. Like, I think it turned out great. There's a little bit of like, obviously, stuff that's changed when you're in the room. Because I think it was like over 2 hours in the room. But then... In the edit, it's like 40 minutes because you're cutting down like the interchanges and whatever. So it is like you're just getting punched in the face with jokes for 40 minutes. It's really good.
It's weird seeing the clips, though, of everyone's like reactions. And I'm like, was that their reaction actually in that moment? Or was this from another thing edited into it?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know like how real, because, you know, with anything, even real professional roast.
Oh, yeah.
The editing is never the same of the close up you're seeing somebody in the audience of what they're reacting to on stage. And so I don't know. That makes me, sometimes I feel like I was too loud on the mic, but like it was because.
Those are such small things that nobody but you notices.
Oh, I know. But it's good. Man, that roast, though, was intense. Some people walked out. Do you remember that?
I remember one person claims...
I wish I could say who walked out at the roast.
What I was told is that this person didn't walk out because of the jokes. What I heard after the fact, because this person ended up coming back after when the roast was over.
After they finished crying out on the streets?
I don't know. But what I was told, not by this person, but indirectly, was that person left to go like take care of an errand. And it wasn't that they walked out because they were mad at the roast, but I don't know. It was like pretty specific when they walked out, but they came back in after, and I saw them, and it was fine. So I don't know.
Hey, take a joke.
Yeah,
take a joke. But it was a good time, and then we had a great rest of the night.
I want to do it again.
I would never ever want to do a roast of me.
I would love to do another one. I would love
with
to
who?
Be.
Who would you think would be a good roast?
I mean, it would be nice to get like Carly and Aaron in the mix somehow, and like maybe some other people that haven't like spoken, like Taylor.
Like the roast of, you're saying like the roast of
Taylor?
Oh, I don't care.
It doesn't matter who it is. It could be the second roast of Jason Nash.
I guess it would have
to
be like David Dobrik.
Sure, it could be David, but like, yeah. But just, it doesn't really matter who the main guy is. The point is, like on the roast of Zane.
It is important who the main guy is because that's the reason why we would do it.
But the jokes is all that I care about, and the jokes are about
everybody
on
else.
The table.
I know, but I'm trying to find the right occasion that it would happen.
It could be Jason again. It could be David. It could be just the roast of the friend group.
Would you ever have the roast of Mike Sheffer? Obviously,
I think
it probably
it's a little
wouldn't
conceited.
Happen. It wouldn't happen. But would you take
100%? 100%. Yes. I just don't think it would do that well, but I would. I would do it.
Yeah.
I think comedians do it for their, like, there was a roast of, like, Bert Kreischer, I think, where I don't even think they recorded it. It's just, like, just for comedians to go and have a fun night.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
like, a reason to go do something.
New Year's?
I did.
What'd you do?
Sally Dar and Sarah McKendrick and their other friend, Sody, came over to the house. Adam and I wore tuxedos in the house. and we played Spyfall and watched the ball drop in New York, and then
you guys all made out with each other.
Well, we like kissed on the lips, each of us, for New Year's.
I tried to joke with them the other night.
Just one of those.
At Knitting Club. I was like, so what'd you guys do?
Oh.
And they're like, oh, well, we went over to Mike's house and hung out with Mike and Adam. I was like, oh, so was this just like a plot to like hook up with Adam? And they like,
taking it back?
Yeah, yes. And I'm like, it's a joke.
Huh.
But then they like,
they were joking about having orgies and stuff though. Like,
oh, I know. No, those girls like to party. I know. Like, you know, and they're a bit of like kind of, I would say, romantics at heart.
And Willie, they like to crush. Too.
So I was like,
well, it was. And Willie was there. But at the strike of midnight, we all just, even me and Adam and Will, it was a full, just a nice New Year's kiss. Everyone, you know, no making out or anything. No.
Did you watch it on TV or did you have your own kind of countdown?
We tried to watch it on TV, and there was some like BBL documentary.
Like a Brazilian butt lift?
Yeah, about like gone wrong. And that was like on the ABC app. We were trying to watch. I wanted to see Liza with Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, yeah.
And on the internet.
But wasn't
app,
that in New York? Isn't that 3 hours ahead?
Sure, but we started at 8 o'clock. And I tried to watch the ABC stream at 8 o'clock, and it was like just a little screenshot of the ball, just static shot, and then like a 90% of the stream was this BBL documentary. And Sally Dar was like, why are you watching this on New Year's Eve? I was like, this is what they're
it's
playing.
On.
Yeah.
Bummer.
So don't get a BBL is what I learned on New Year's Eve.
Oh, yeah. And then what are your New Year's resolutions?
I never make them.
You don't? Is there a personal reason why you don't?
If you want to better yourself, don't wait till the calendar says to. Just do
it. I don't like goals.
That's apparent.
What do you mean?
I'm just kidding.
Well, I think goals can kind of make people depressed. I think you should create
or successful.
You should create better habits to get you to achieve things that you want to happen. But by like saying like, if my goal
right into the lens,
sometimes I think people's goals will make you like, I think you should surprise yourself with your new habits on changing your life.
Yeah, habits are better than goals.
People have a goal who's like, I will get on SNL. Good luck.
No.
Good luck. Or I'm going to become a pro football player by the end of the year. That is my goal. Good luck. Like,
it's better to make habits. I want to lose 10 pounds, is I will exercise every day. That's a habit that you can do. Yeah. And by virtue of doing the habit, you will find the goal.
Yeah. I just hope, because I just think then maybe your goal should be like attainable and strive towards achievements that you would like to see happen.
Yeah.
But the word goal sometimes for me is like
a trigger word.
Yeah. But I do have like things I want to achieve, but
can I give you your holiday gift?
You got me a gift?
I sure did, pal. It's not, I'm just going to preface, it's not as good as the gift you gave me, so I
should
feel
bad.
Should
we explain to the people what I gave you for
Hanukkah? We didn't go through this. Yeah. Why don't you explain the VCR situation.
VCR
just the
I guess lately my new hobby, you know, I get a new hobby and I obsess about it. I've just been really into VHSs and like VCR TV combos. I think that they're a really cool accessory to have in your home, not to sit there and watch movies on. Like, I get it, watching a movie on a really nice big plasma LCD
HD 4K, yeah,
watch a movie like that, but I feel like mobile like VHS TVs to me are like almost like accessories or pieces of furniture. It's almost like a yes. lamp. The way it just like creates this buzz and illumination into a corner of the room and the joy it sparks in people whenever they interact with it, I love. And yeah. VHSs are super cheap. You can collect all your favorite movies. It's a fun little thing. Mike has always appreciated the joy that that he's gotten from whenever
VHS store together, and I'm like, oh, this is so cool to have physical
but
media.
You didn't have a VHS.
No.
So I did a big hunt. I went on eBay, because usually the good ones are on eBay, but they cost so much to ship. But I look up the ones that are local pickups. I drove out.
An hour each way.
Found you a really great white one with the mobile or the combo VHS
built in.
Brought it back, gave it to you for Hanukkah.
It was amazing. I'm blown away, because I had bought probably like 7 VHSs when we would go to the VHS stores.
Yeah,
and I had nothing to do with them. They look nice. But now every day I wake up and I just pop one in. And I get what you're saying, though. You want long movies, because I have all these like 90-minute like Bruce Lee movies, and you know if it's
and they go over fast
from like 10 to 11:30 a.m. I'm like, oh my god, it's still in the morning, and I already burned through a whole movie. And you're not sitting there watching the movie. I put it on mute.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I hardly turn the sound up.
Yeah.
Or if there's like a funny scene, you can like turn the sound up, but it's just there. Long movies, though, are the best because you don't have to change them that often. Does yours auto-rewind at the end? Isn't that
it's the best?
You don't have to...
I will say, I did watch a movie in full that I would never watch because it's not on any platforms and I wouldn't like pay... It'll cost you $4 to rent it on YouTube, but it costs $3 for the VHS. I watched... The 7-Year Itch, a Marilyn Monroe movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a classic Marilyn Monroe. I've never seen her in anything, and it was fucking amazing. It was hilarious. You've
never seen a Marilyn Monroe movie?
Never.
Dude, you gotta see...
The Exorcist?
Some Like It Hot. Mm-hmm. Is that the name of it? Mm-hmm. Some Like It Hot. That's about the three guys who dress up as girls to join...
I don't know the
group,
plot,
like
but
a performing group. I'm pretty sure it's so funny.
I want to get some of these like 50s movies because they also just look nicer on
VHS.
Analog,
it's
like cute. I don't need to see this on my 4K TV. I kind of like how the sound is.
Breakfast
a little...
at Tiffany's, though, minus Mickey Rooney.
Oh! Did they cut it out, or you're just
no?
Saying,
it's in it, yeah. But I hate it. But I do love Breakfast at Tiffany's, or I like the song Moon River a lot. And I actually have a Marilyn Monroe film called Niagara Falls.
Is it good?
Never watched it,
dude. She was. Stunning.
I know. Sometimes I get really fixated on that she died. Like,
how did she die? Was it like a mystery?
Suicide.
No way.
Yeah, suicide.
Confirmed or like CIA?
Definitely. No, she ingested that many pills.
Where, oh my
like,
God.
By herself. And it was in her house and like her maid found her and everything. It's totally confirmed suicide. Rumors say, though, it was because she kind of had a thing with JFK. Oh. JFK was kind of blowing her off. Like rumors say that like JFK was on the phone when she committed suicide. Yeah,
oh,
she was with Arthur Miller, like divorced Arthur Miller.
Yeah,
and she was with Joe DiMaggio for a bit.
Yeah, but she like in this movie she was, it's like unbelievable. She looked as modern as she would like if you put her in a movie today.
Yeah,
you'd be like, oh my God, she's a movie
babe.
Star. Yeah,
total babe.
But just like the energy and the poise. But thanks to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of Hoot and a Half. We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, Rocket Money.
I love Rocket Money. I was just on Rocket Money earlier today because you know it's the new year. I'm trying to get all my finances in order. You know, you need to do a little bit of cleaning for the new year, not just in your room and in your physical space, but also in your wallet and everything that you may be subscribed to digitally online. I found out that I've been paying nearly $17 every 4 weeks to the New York Times, and I didn't even know about it.
Really?
I mean, I think it's important to subscribe to a publication to stay informed, but I didn't want to buy the $17 every 4 weeks. I've been probably paying that for about 2 years.
Is that not for the...
Dude, it wasn't for the crossword.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Mike, it wasn't for the crossword. That's tied to my Apple ID and my Apple subscriptions.
Oh, goodness.
I can see all of that. But no, I had a whole separate account that I was paying for the New York Times, and I would have never known about it if it wasn't for Rocket Money pointing that out. But hey, Matt, is Rocket Money just for subscriptions and notifying you when you're paying too much? Guys, absolutely not. It is so much more than that.
It's actually the sickest finance app I've ever used. I've used some of the other ones and it's the best.
And you may be like, but isn't this like Truebill? Rocket Money is Truebill. They just changed their name.
Yeah, formerly known as Truebill, Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels all your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills all in one place. Did you know that over 80% of people have subscriptions that they forgot about, like streaming services they may have bought to watch just one episode of a show or a free trial that you don't even use?
Me, with my Amazon account, I also realized I was subscribing to Stars. Didn't realize that, so I made sure I cut that out.
Exactly right, Matt. Rocket Money will quickly and easily identify your subscriptions for you so you can stop paying for the ones that you don't want. You simply find the subscription that you don't want and press cancel, and the Rocket Money app will cancel it for you. There's no more long hold times with customer service or emails back and forth. Rocket Money makes canceling subscriptions as easy as a click of a button.
Over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, with the average person saving up to $720 a year.
Stop throwing your money away, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way. Go to rocketmoney.com/hoot.
That is rocketmoney.com/hoot. Once again, rocketmoney.com/hoot.
And now back to the episode. But anyway, this is your gift.
We really
in
derailed.
in a similar fashion. I hope that you'll appreciate this because it's something that you mentioned only one time, and I don't think you have it. So what? I'm hoping that it's something that you find valuable. I'll hold the mic for you while you open it.
All right. Hey, this appears to be a shirt. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. How cool. It is a Wikipedia of Dallas, Texas.
It's a wiki shirt.
I love it. I was going to get a wiki shirt one time of psoriasis.
I was thinking of getting you the wiki shirt for psoriasis, but I figured also it's like on theme where I usually get you something Dallas or Texas related for the holidays. So I hope you like it.
Mike, I love it.
I got a little nervous when I saw you wearing the Lana Del Rey YouTube screenshot shirt. I thought maybe that was a wiki shirt, and I was
No, one's an And After That shirt.
Oh, okay. Well, this is the Wikipedia entry for Dallas, Texas as of December. So unless something crazy happens in Dallas in the next period of time, I don't think this will change.
I love it.
Do you recognize the photos in it? Like, are you familiar with these locations?
Yes. It's the total skyline. You have Big Tex that's at the Texas State Fair. You have the Gargoyle Building. Oh, which I'm pretty sure is that the Old Red Museum? No, I know the Winspear Opera House.
Can I hold it up to the camera?
The JFK Memorial. No, there's a lot of stuff on there, Mike. Thank you. I didn't know Dallas had a flag. Well, learn something new. My dad's going to love this.
So I hope you like it.
I love it.
I hope it's something you will wear. I know I've given you some gifts that are more...
Like what?
Like the unopened Sonic the Hedgehog mug I got.
I just opened it today, and I finally put it in...
I was just trying to think of something that I can give you that is cooler than just the thought of the moment. I hope you wear it. If you don't, I obviously understand. Mike. But I feel like it's something that you may like.
I love it.
Okay. Okay.
I love it so much.
I'm glad. Do you want to see my impression of lightweights?
Sure.
Did you know... Hold on. And you just have to go, no way, shut up.
Dead ass, no way.
Did you know?
No way.
Did you know?
No way.
Listen to this. You're not going to believe this. So it turns out, yeah.
Dead ass, hold on. Bro?
That's our lightweight impression. We just didn't get the fact out.
No, tell me a fact, though, to blow my mind, Mike.
A blow your mind fact? Yeah. Okay. Whenever you look up at the stars and you're looking at a star as it was in the sky, you're actually looking at how the star looked like millions, if not hundreds of millions of years. Did you know this
it's
already?
Just the light's now getting to you.
You didn't tell me to prepare facts.
Okay. Fine.
What is this? Am I on the
what
spot?
What did you think of Banshees of Inisherin? What movies have you seen lately?
Okay. Banshees of Inisherin. Great fucking movie. Martin McDonagh, one of my favorite directors. He came out with the movie In Bruges, which I've never seen.
But Martin McDonagh.
And you liked Banshees of Inisherin?
Yeah. And I also love Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. Have you seen that one?
Of course. Three times.
Have you read his plays?
No.
You should read The Pillow Man.
I wanted to see that when I was in New York.
Yeah.
There's a movie called Six Shooter that he did also. Six Shooter.
Oh.
It all takes place on a train, and this is like first short film.
Okay.
He's one of my favorite directors. Like, I was so fucking hyped when Banshees of Inisherin was coming out because it's also the same two guys that are in the movie In Bruges. Bruges.
The same actors, not the same characters.
No. Same actors.
Right.
But it's Colin Farrell and...
That one Irish guy who hosted SNL. Yeah.
And you know his son is the guy that's in the Star Wars movies and Ex Machina. The redhead kid.
Get out of here!
That's his son.
Oh!
Brendan Gleeson and Domhnall Gleeson.
Yes! Oh, I didn't realize that's his son.
Yeah, I hung out with them at South By one time.
Who's in About Time?
I think so.
And he's one of the Weasley brothers.
I don't know. I haven't seen any of those, but...
You've never seen any
right of those. Right before... Like, there was a South By that I went to one time when Ex Machina came out, and it was Oscar Isaac and this guy, and there was, like, a South By party for this movie, and, like, 3 days before, they had just announced that Oscar Isaac was going to be in the new Star Wars movie, and nobody fucking knew who he was at this party, and I was like, this guy is about to be the biggest movie star in the world. Like, everyone's gonna know his name. So I was just like drinking beers with him, and I was like, dude, do you realize that your fucking life is about to change? And he was like, yeah, we'll see, I don't know. And I was like, dude, you are about to be in fucking the reboot of Star Wars. Your life is gonna be like, it's crazy that no one knows who you are right now. You should take in this moment. And he was kind of like, he's just like so nonchalant about it. And then of course now he's like the biggest guy in the world. But
you know why he's so great?
Why?
Juilliard.
Did he go to Juilliard?
Yeah, he did.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You know who else went to Juilliard? The guy from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Really?
The guy who plays Dennis.
Charlie Day?
No, Dennis. Went to Juilliard.
For acting?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, I heard it on their podcast.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
You know who I would have cast in that movie instead of Oscar Isaac?
Kathy Bates.
Sam Shepard. I think your brother, though, in that role, like, there are moments where that guy reminds me of your brother.
In Ex Machina?
Yeah. And I just like to picture, like, Sam Shepard in that kind of role.
Should we talk more shit about our friends?
You do want to?
Well, Jason got engaged. Joe got engaged.
Right.
Do you feel like everyone's kind of, like, cramping your style a little bit?
Well, you know what's funny is I found out that Joe was supposed to propose to Caitlin the week I proposed to Patricia. And he had to push it back a month because...
Because you did it.
Yeah.
Wow, your appendix really changed the course of many people's lives.
Certainly.
And we were with Joe the day before he did it. He came over and gave you all the hex
buddy,
stuff.
I knew. Wait, oh, yes. Oh, right. I didn't know they were engaged. They told me after. The day after. They gave me the hex clod stuff.
Wait, they were already engaged?
Joe and Caitlin come over to my house and he goes, I have something to surprise you with. And then him and Caitlin come into our house, but they have nothing in their hands. So I'm like... Well, what the fuck is it? And then he was like, well, let's get Danielle down here, too. So me and Danielle are down in our kitchen. We're sitting on the bar stools or whatever, closing our eyes. They still don't have anything in their hand. And then I notice that Caitlin's kind of holding her arm. And he goes, okay, so there's something we've been wanting to share with you guys. And immediately I go, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Because I realize, it was either she is engaged or she's pregnant. But then I was like, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
To like, because I'm like, what is she hiding? A pregnancy stick? I'm
right,
like, you show your spouse your pregnancy.
You don't show that to people.
You don't go, or your mom. You don't. I don't think a lot of people bring their pee stick. Maybe close girlfriends. Okay. Or
I don't know that.
It would have been a little weird. So then I realized it. They showed it. Oh my God. Woo! So happy.
Yeah.
And then. But it was so funny. They told me that they were supposed to propose around the same time because I remember I was doing a mukbang with Joe, and Joe was like, "So when are you proposing?" It was almost like Joe's tone, though. He was just being incredibly interested in what was happening.
Yeah.
But I took it as like him being like, "Maybe you shouldn't marry Patricia." Like, I was like, "What's the big deal?"
Oh,
I got a vibe from Joe that he was trying to hold something back.
When he was asking you about you were going to propose to Patricia.
Yes.
And you thought it was, I understand. Okay.
And then what's funny, you and I, we go over to Jason's house, and right before we do his podcast, which I don't know if it's out yet, right?
No, he hasn't posted that yet.
He told us right before that he was proposing.
Yes, right before we filmed the podcast. And he's like, don't tell anyone.
Wild. So there's going to be a lot of weddings this year. Biggest thing is like I'm having a lot of like paranoia. And I say paranoia lightly. I just hope nobody books their wedding on the same day as mine.
You better send out those save the dates, brother.
I know. We already do have the date.
I know, but you should send it out to everyone.
Now you're stressing me out. Do we need to end this podcast right now?
Well, no, not at 5 p.m. on a Friday.
I really want to have my engagement party at David's house, but David hasn't responded to me. David did say we could.
You got to just text him a bunch.
All right.
Oh, I sent him a really funny meme the other day.
What was the meme you sent David?
Well, because you told me that he loves the GeoGuessr guy, right?
Yes. Well, he's always very baffled by him.
Well, but he, like, I mean, I'm not in the group chat, but the fact you told me that he loves the GeoGuessr guy, just look at this meme. For the listeners, it's the GeoGuessr guy with like a face filter that makes him look like pretty big.
He's like, oh, that's a big hot dog. Yep, mustard, ketchup, classic. Mahi-mahi tacos, we'll take that. Frito pie. Wow, can't believe that, but all right. That's a cheeseburger for sure. Rocco ribs. Did David find it funny?
Yeah, look, he gave me this.
Did he go, ha ha ha, that's good. When did he send that? Okay, oh, that was Wednesday. Okay, just making sure.
Wait, why?
Because David just hasn't responded to me in like 2 days.
He's an idiot. You just have to text him a bunch.
Or just text Taylor. Or David, though, he will only respond if it's like a voice message, too.
Oh, because then he has to listen to it.
Yeah.
They ran into Sam at CES yesterday.
I saw that. I didn't even know Zane was going to CES. He goes, I'm just going to Vegas for a Snapchat thing. And I was like, you went to CES? He goes, oh, yeah. I didn't. I'm like, it's a pretty cool event.
Yeah.
Where were we? I feel like we really derailed.
We're talking about engagement.
Engagement. Oh, hope nobody plans it on the 3rd.
I don't think they will. But maybe just communicate that to Jason and...
I have. I've told them my dates. Joe. They know.
Yeah.
But hopefully, though, it's not like when I'm at my honeymoon, or there's always that weird overlap.
Yeah, or yeah. I hope it's not during like a Jewish holiday. In September.
You can still. Is there something that says you cannot one? Thou shalt not go to a wedding.
No, but if it's like Rosh Hashanah or something, and I'm at my family's house, like in New Jersey. Okay. Oh,
what?
You will be around next weekend, right?
Yes,
my parents are coming. You better meet them this
time.
Oh,
yes. I know. It's been too long.
Yeah.
Wait, too many years.
You've missed them the last, like, two times they've been here.
Was it two times?
They've been here twice, and you have not been in town both times.
I'm so sorry.
Okay. It's fine. I think that my mom's just very excited to meet you.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going anywhere. As far as I know.
No. It's just the American Influencer Awards.
Which Unfiltered is nominated for?
Unfiltered is nominated for. Hopefully we win.
You go on that subreddit for David Dobrik?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that subreddit?
The David Dobrik subreddit?
Yeah.
Fine. I'm totally fine with it. I think, I don't know, every community has a right to get together and talk about what their
no judgment. I don't think it's healthy for you to be looking at it.
I don't check it that often. No.
I don't think I've looked at it since like 2020.
Same. That was the first time I've looked at it.
Yeah.
All year.
I think some... No, you know that time, meme, the friend who says see you next year.
No, I'm not. First time I've looked at it, but the last time I looked at it was when Patricia and I got engaged. So,
oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I support people. Like, I get it. You want to have your internet community about the art that you like. I just think it's a little. It would be. It's. I don't think it's healthy for like our. Like, I hear friends of ours talk about going on it.
No,
and I'm like, don't. That's not. You're not a real person.
Yeah, I definitely have my boundaries of what types of things I want to dive into.
Because like, you don't want that to affect how you like live your life. And no. I think some people can take internet comments and like internalize it. But for you as a real person, they're just they don't see you as a real person, I think. But I don't know.
I feel like we derailed again. We talked about movies. So you've seen Banshees of Inisherin.
Yeah, you should see In Bruges.
I will see In Bruges. I have that on my Letterboxd watch list. Did you see anything else? I know.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about what's hot this year, Mike.
Me and Adam have been watching a lot of movies. I just saw A Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
For the first time?
Yeah, it's the only David Fincher movie I haven't seen.
That is a movie I wish I could relive and watch. It is an awesome mystery.
I would have loved a trigger warning or two.
Oh yeah, there is a pretty rough scene in that movie.
Possibly the roughest scene in any movie I've ever seen in my life. That was the darkest shit I've ever seen. Like, I still am upset about it.
She gets back, though.
What?
Huh?
Yeah, she... Well, not really. That's not a spoiler, okay. But like...
Yeah, that was a bit rough, but... Great story, though. I love the environment. I love how it's wintry. We're in Sweden.
We also, we tried to watch it, and we went on Amazon Prime and clicked Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah.
And the first, like, 8 minutes, no one says anything. And so we're just, like, watching it. And, like, in the intro, it said, like, Directore and, like, you know, Editore. And all the names were, like, Swedish names. I was like, okay, whatever.
Oh, you watched the Swedish version.
Yeah, and then they start talking in Swedish. And I looked at Adam, and I was like, what the fuck is going on here? And then we looked it up, and it turns out that there was a Swedish version made first.
Yeah, they do all three in Swedish version. And I'm pretty sure the English, it's only Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and Girl Who Kicked
the Horse. Is there a second one?
Yeah.
But David Fincher...
It's not Rooney Mara. It's a different girl. Which is annoying. They should have made them back to back to back.
But David Fincher didn't direct it either, right?
No. Even the second one.
Is it worth watching?
I heard it didn't get that good of reviews.
I want to watch the Swedish one. Have you seen the Swedish one?
No.
I feel like
I want to watch that together?
Yeah, I'm down.
But I've heard mixed reviews about the Swedish one is still like in the world of like Sweden. It's like, meh.
Apparently Swedes just make really fucked up dark movies too.
That is true.
You seen The Seventh Seal?
No, but I did watch Fanny and Alexander. I watched that for the first time.
You should watch that. I mean, Fanny and Alexander is fine, but the thing that he is known for is
okay. But
the Seventh Seal. You said hot movies. This came out in 1957. No, I'm talking
about Oscar season, Mike. We're in show business. What the movies that are coming out?
You tell me.
Did you see Triangle of Sadness?
No.
Okay, did you see...
The new Pinocchio, the animated one.
Oh, I started it. I haven't finished it. It's lovely.
It's beautiful.
From what I've seen.
And it's funny.
Yeah.
The little cricket guy that keeps getting fucking smashed.
Jiminy Cricket? Yeah.
Thanks to Talkspace for sponsoring this episode of Hoot and Half.
And we'll be right back to Hoot and Half after a word from this sponsor. When it comes to therapy, psychiatry, getting the help you need has never been so accessible and affordable. You can get mental health care with or without insurance with Talkspace. When you're able to access your provider from the comfort of your device, it means mental health care can be on your schedule. And skipping the wait times to get an appointment or the travel time to an office can free up time for the rest of your life. Talkspace is so flexible, it helps me feel supported around the clock.
Talkspace lets you send messages to your dedicated therapist in the Talkspace platform, which allows you to update them on the challenges and the triumphs that you're facing in real time, so you do not have to wait for your next session. With Talkspace, you can set goals with your therapist and they'll hold you accountable and make sure you're really progressing. Therapy can help you shift your perspective, find tools to cope in difficult times, and be a guiding light. And some of the things that we love about Talkspace, it's convenient. It's mental health care that meets you wherever you are and simplifies taking care of your therapy and psychiatry needs. It eliminates the commute to appointments, missed time that you would miss at work, or lining up childcare in order to attend sessions. Plus, instead of waiting for appointments, you can send text messages to your therapist to let them know what issues you're facing in real time. It's mental health made easy.
And it is also super secure. Talkspace is secure and private, and it's using the latest end-to-end bank-grade encryption technology to store client information and complying with the latest HIPAA regulations. As a listener of this podcast, you will get $100 off your first month with Talkspace when you go to Talkspace.com and use code HH. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com and use code HH to get $100 off your first month and to show your support of the show. That's HH at Talkspace.com.
And now back to the episode. Have you heard of the saying epigenetic imprinting?
A little bit.
It's like the idea of like generational trauma imprinting on. So there's, I think what I heard in a study, whatever, that like if something happened to your grandparents that was traumatic, the grandchildren will still have like trauma responses and triggers. And
is this based like on like dreams or phobias? Like
no, just like anything that's traumatic. Like there's depression.
If my ancestors were in a huge train accident, yes. Am I scared of trains?
Yes, yeah. Like grandchildren of Holocaust survivors have trauma
from the Holocaust. But what, like, specifically? I know that the Holocaust is very bad, but is it like getting being trapped? Is that
I don't know the specifics.
Being taken against your will.
I don't know that it's like a specific reaction, but there is a version of it that gets passed down. And I think that that's also like the difference, one of the many differences between me and you. I feel like you're a lot more carefree and like, yeah, let's just go out and have a good time. And I'm like, I don't know, what if something bad happens? Like, not that I'm actually thinking that, but you're like, you're a little bit more carefree. I'm a little bit more.
Oh, and you think that has to deal with
like having been a Jew and having been like just born and raised in America and generationally American.
Interesting. And I like to drink because I'm Irish.
No, not that. But just a little bit more. I mean, I don't know if there's like generational trauma in your family, but
do you know what I think is with you?
Yeah. What's wrong with me?
It's not what's wrong, but I think you could have been different if you went to a bigger school,
younger, up.
And you hung around more women. Even though I'm not saying that you're like you're hard masculine.
No,
but like
you're
right. I feel like there's like some social energy that you can pick up by hanging out with like friends of girls at a younger age. Because I'm like I had a lot of like girlfriends growing up.
Yeah.
Like girls I hung out with. That also, I feel like, changed and molded the personality I am. Because there's also tons of dudes who hang out with just dudes.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think you could have been like a little bit
more. Or
like
if I had a sister.
Yes.
Like there's benefit. Like Adam has a sister and he has a completely different like ability to connect with people. But
and I feel like you hung out with just your brothers a lot.
Yeah. And I was the oldest.
Because you're very content on being like, oh, I'm good. I'm home. Yeah. I can like do this. I'm like, we have to go out. We have to seize the day. Like. And there's nothing wrong with that.
But I feel like now, I mean, as an adult, I feel like I have more girlfriends than guy friends. Like, all my friends are girls now. Ella, Jess, Angela, Mika.
Yeah, you don't really have, like, a guy squad.
Not out here. You're, like, in, like, this friend group, I would say you're definitely my closest guy friend, like you and Adam. In New York, I still have my guy friends. But here in LA, like, I say most of my friends are girls. And mm-hmm. It's great. It's such a different energy, and it feels like, I feel like I can relax because there's no competition of any kind. Like when you're with guys, guys sometimes want to like one up each other and like
be funny. Isn't it kind of like, I think you don't really struggle with it, and I've definitely have gotten like over it, but sometimes like I wasn't satisfied with like my social surroundings or like I wish, or I'm always looking at the past going, oh, I wish I had a more like fraternal, like, or
you have a lot of FOMO
of friends, or I wish it was just bigger. Sometimes I feel like it ran too thin, or I feel like it's not as strong and as bonded as I want. It's like this whole, I want to say it's like, I wish I was in a fraternity kind of feeling, but like, I wish I was like part of like a bigger interested team.
Or you always have FOMO.
But then I look back, I know exactly, but then I'm so satisfied with it all. But I think a lot of people sometimes, I read comments where like, they look at like the vlog squad or other groups going, gosh, I wish I had a group of friends like that.
Yeah.
Or they're not happy with like their friend circle. Yeah. What do you think is like, how do you handle those types of thoughts?
If you wish you had better friends?
Then sometimes I think people go, yo, if you don't like the people that you're around with, change it up.
Yeah, just get out of there.
But what if like you don't have those group of people?
It's tough. It's really tough. But like I read a study today actually that said 1 in 10 Americans does not have a close friend, which is fucking crazy. And that's like down, like in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, which is like counting down for how many Americans don't have a close friend.
But I always sometimes have struggled where like, I don't know, truly, like I would consider you as one of my greatest friends, but sometimes sure. I feel like you have a closer friend than me.
Not here.
Really? So are we best friends? Because like Zane, the thing is, Zane is like a best friend, but you know, Zane and Heath are better friends than me. So like,
yeah, the idea of a best friend, I think, is a little outdated for
us. Are you my best friend?
Come on. An adult?
I thought I was your best friend.
As an adult?
I thought I was your best friend.
Here's the other thing. I would say yes to the best friend thing, but when people get into relationships with, like, relationships.
Yeah. Like that's love, a different romantic relationship.
There's something about how much you can give of yourself to another person. And, like, I think this is not this, I don't mean this in any negative way, but, like, I think me and you were definitely closer before you met Patricia. Because the energy that you were giving to a significant other, we were like not even me yeah, and you specifically, yeah. And I've noticed this with other friends too. Like
more time.
Yeah, too. That's it. It really comes down to time, and like how, like you and I could go out 3 nights a week, and that we're just with each other the entire time, and then the next morning we'll go get food together, whatever. It wasn't like we were in a relationship, but when you. That's like definite best friends. But then when you get into a relationship, it's like we're still best friends, but that level of what that means is like, are we texting each other first thing in the morning? No. But we used to.
Yeah. And we also have a bit of business relationship too.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, it's sometimes hard where it's like, okay, are we here to talk? We either got to talk shop. And then
I think we're really good at dividing
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no complaints there.
But there is definitely also that layer to it. But yeah. I think, you know, it's funny. It's a new year, Banshees of Inisherin. Have you ever been, has anyone ever broken off a friendship with you? Like, where you've been like, what? You don't want to be friends with me anymore?
No, but I've done that not many times, but a few times.
Yeah.
It's the hardest thing in the world.
I do sometimes. Yeah.
It just sucks. Because, like, if, you know, sometimes you just outgrow people and they want to just kind of hold you back or hold you down. Or you just grow apart, not even down, but... You have to protect your own energy always, number one. Like, being rude is better than being regretful.
Okay.
Like, if you think it's going to be rude to not go out with that group of friends because all they do is go to the same bar, talk the same shit, and it's, like, rude to not go out with them, but you'll regret going out with them, choose not regretting it and like reading a book or going to like a knitting club or going to a library or mm-hmm. a Barnes, whatever your new thing may be. And yeah. The other side of it, this is something I've been saying a lot to Adam too. You don't have to hear this advice, but when you get invited somewhere, like a lot of people, introverts, they want to not go. They're just like, I don't want to go to that party. I don't really want to go out. I'll just stay home. And my theory of this is if you stay home, there is an upside. You don't have to like put on your energy. You don't have to put on a smile and you don't have to interact with people. You get to be comfortable. But there's a maximum ceiling of how much upside you get from staying home. If you go out, you have no idea what the upside. The potential upside is you meet the love of your life. You meet a new best friend. You make a business connection.
Yeah.
You have the time of your life. You run into someone you haven't seen. The upside of going out is infinite. And the upside of staying in is very limited. And the worst that happens if you go out is you went out? And
yeah.
then you didn't, you got an
but
hour
But you did the damn thing. You're never going to look as good looking and be as young as you are right now.
I've been using
so
this
go
too.
Out, you're young, you're hot.
Adam's
live
saying this too.
Your life.
Since you said this on the podcast, he uses this phrase a lot. You only have so many weekends while you're young and hot.
Yeah. Facts. I'm glad to hear Adam say that.
Yeah. Well, he got it from you.
Oh, yeah.
I told him that.
Shit.
There's only so many weekends where you're young and hot.
Facts. So it's great that we're going to be going on tonight. Maybe you might meet.
The date I'm going to bring to all five of these weddings.
Well, I don't know. They got to meet your parents. You only got like a limited amount of time.
They'd have to meet my parents to go to a wedding.
I know. I'm kidding. But wait. You're talking about my wedding?
Yeah.
You may not need to have a date. You're going to be a groomsman, Mike.
No, I want to have a date at a wedding. What but do you mean? That's half the fun of going to a wedding is having a date to make fun of everyone else with.
Oh, true.
Did you see Matt's aunt? Jesus Christ.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm kidding. I'm sure your aunt is lovely.
Oh, they're the best.
That's it.
No, yeah. Damn, straight.
Well, I have like three weddings this summer, all overseas.
Gulp.
Two in Italy, one in Ireland.
Two in Italy?
I know. I might
That's
not go.
That's too many.
I might not go to both.
Yeah.
And then one in Ireland, and then a bachelor party in July, and then your birthday, and then your wedding, and then Joe's wedding, and then Jason's wedding, and who the fuck else knows? Well, that's it for another episode of...
Is that it?
I think so.
Are we done? I thought we had like a whole nother hour left.
Hold on. Let me see how long... I think we were pretty good.
No!
That was 50 minutes. That was more than
Oh
enough.
My gosh.
You want to start a Patreon?
My zipper's been undone. Hopefully nobody's...
You can't see it
okay,
in that camera.
Thank goodness. Wait, Patreon?
I mean, if you feel like we can do another hour...
If you guys would like a Patreon, please comment down below. And trust me, I think we would make it an affordable Patreon.
Like
right?
$35 a day?
No, we would make it reasonable. And I would love to see what you guys would like to see from us or from me.
Nudes?
The thing is, though, everyone has a Patreon. So I get if you're like, absolutely not, Matt, do not start Patreon. But if you think I was worth a couple dollars a month to get exclusive content,
I don't know if this
by all
is
means.
The best pitch.
What, now?
I don't know if you guys think I'm worth any. Like,
I don't know. But the thing is, I just don't want to make it feel like I'm gatekeeping my own self for these people.
No, we've never done that.
Exciting things are coming for half the year. We're going to have better lights. We're going to have better cameras. We're going to have a whole different shift in conversations. So get ready. Be excited.
Barack Obama's coming on.
I thought it was Michelle. We got Barack?
Well, we're going to do a couples episode, but we'll split them up and then we'll have them as a couple.
Okay, cool.
That's the Matt King special.
All right.
Well, we'll see you next week or the week after. We'll see you
next week. Let's keep busting these out.
Okay.
All right, guys. Love y'all so much. Have a great start to your new year.
Bye.
And we'll catch you later. Bye-bye.